It is really hard to wake everyone up, and it is also true that it's sort of like we have a small but critical mass. That's okay. Do you know that we don't need everyone in this room? Let's say all of you were sleeping, and one person who was awake walked into this crowd. Because of the nature of humanity and the nature of that thing, you want to call it glow or magnetism or whatever, it spreads. It's contagious. It's amazing. And if you put that person on stage, like, let's say, John Lennon, then hello, we're waking people up in droves. And they don't even know why they're waking up. It's just like turning on a light bulb. Suddenly, it starts to make sense. And you've got to keep questioning everything. Question me, question Camelot, question everything. Do your research, though. Don't go around with opinions, thinking you know it all, or putting people down or going into a negative space because you don't want to hear it, because it doesn't fit some previous download that you got on planet Earth from your priest or your father or your mother or whatever the kind of thing. You know, bottom line is, it's all trash. You decide, okay? Because you're the ones here, and you have the equipment to do so. What are you capable of? Because that's really the bottom line, and that's why you have the oppression on Earth that you have at this time. Because there are ET races out there who want the resources, they want your genetics, and they want to control you. Why? Because they know that if the tables are allowed to be turned, then you may end up controlling them. Now, I don't recommend that, but I just want you to know that the potential of the human vehicle, as you may call it, is virtually unlimited if you view it in this fashion. You have two paths to choose from here on Earth at this time. One is angelic human, which is your natural progression and your re-evolution back to source, or you have the robotic Superman. And the robotic Superman is the path that the military-industrial complex, the secret side of it, has decided to go. I don't care what happens on planet Earth, I'm going to be on the front lines until the last minute. That's just my personality. Actually, I was supposed to be murdered for that. They wanted to kill me over that interview because of the way I handled it. And they were not happy with the fact that even though he denied what I asked him, there's a sense where you can ask a question as a journalist, and even when the person denies it, it's obvious they're lying. My job is to get the truth out, okay? That's the bottom line. Now, I don't violate secrecy either. I keep confidences, but I do put the truth out for you to know. It probably will get worse before it gets better. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, in my view. And I'm out here on stage and talking to you and doing what I do in Camelot every day, and I work a lot. And I have to say that I'm doing this because I believe we have a future, that this rendition of humanity, this seeding, has every chance of making it through, that for the first time in all the seedings of humanity on planet Earth, that you guys are going to make it all the way. Okay? And so I'm putting everything I have behind that. And I want to make sure that happens.
Hi there. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot. And we've got a strange echo going on the computer tonight. I'm not sure what that is about, all about, but hopefully you can hear me. My guest tonight is Neil Freer, and he is I like to call him a futurist. I'm not sure what he wants to call himself, but we'll ask him. I'm not sure what's going on. It might be, Neil, that we've got you on Skype and you need to mute yourself while I'm talking. I don't know why we've got a weird echo going on. Maybe the engineers can work on that. I'm going to turn my sound down at my end and see if that helps. At any rate, I've got Neil here, as I said, as my guest. And I'm just going to read your bio really quickly. And hopefully I can think clearly without this sort of feedback thing going on. Basically, Neil is a researcher, generalist, lecturer, and poet living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He holds a BA in English, did graduate work in philosophy and psychology at the New School for Social Research. He's taught college courses in philosophy and the history of religion, gives private and public seminars, lectures, and has done over 290 radio and film interviews. He is the author of Breaking the God Spell, which explores the archaeological, astronomical, and genetic proof for our being genetically and a genetically engineered species. He presents ramifications of this new paradigm of human nature that resolves what he feels is the creationist evolutionary conflict. In his second book, God Games, What Do You Do Forever?, he explores ways in which we can live individually and collectively. We attain the unassailable integrity afforded by the restoration of our true genetic history. Once that happens, he's basically saying, what do you do forever? He outlines the racial maturity of the new planetary civilization and describes the new human. He's a practicing immortal. He signed up for chirogenetic suspension to cover his bet in the event that biotechnologists haven't given us immortality before he dies. He's also got another book out. It's a new book. It's called The View from 2100 State Rise, if I have that correctly. Neil Freer, are you there?
I am here. And how is my voice coming through?
You sound great. I, for some reason, have a really strange echo. Not sure where that's coming from or why. I've tried taking off my headphones, and it's still there. So not sure what to do about that. But at any rate, what I'd love to do is get you to introduce yourself. I've sort of read your bio there. But if you'd like to give a little bit more background on what you've been doing lately, because you have been on my show, I think it's been maybe a year, maybe a little longer, a while back. And I'm sure people are anxious to hear kind of where you're at now.
Well, let's see. Actually involved in a number of things. But primary focus right now is that I've teamed up with C.B. Scott Jones. You know Scott, right?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to interview him not long ago.
Okay. And, yeah, he's your backyard, sort of, Kerrville, Texas, outside of Austin, I believe. And anyway, we're both over 80. We're both 82 plus. And his background is much more impressive, I think, than mine. He was military intelligence worked on a number of projects in that capacity, and then naval intelligence, to be precise. And then he was an assistant to Senator Pell. He traveled the world for Senator Pell, investigating the leading-edge research that was being done in the paranormal and in the UFO phenomena. And then he worked for Lawrence Rockefeller when LR was going up on the White House Hill, trying to push on the Clinton administration to make full disclosure of the alien situation. And so Scott and I have kind of teamed up and formed a little virtual think tank called Cosmic Humanity. And I think I sent you a copy of the Declaration of Cosmic Humanity. And if I didn't, I will.
yes.
And so our major thrust, my major thrust in association with Scott Jones, is that we've been pushing hard all over the planet to get the academic communities of the world loosened up so that they will begin to consider and study, discuss, and write white papers on the alien situation, as is their duty, really, to prepare the general population for disclosure, which may come any time or may not come for a long time. But anyway, we need to know, we need the people to know accurate information. And we have had no success. We were invited to present the briefing that we had put out at three major universities in India. Scott went. I wasn't feeling particularly well at that particular point and didn't want to get exposed to the lethal atmosphere in jet planes for that much of a ride. And he got great reception, three major universities, great questions, enthusiasm, and we never got a white paper out of Anaheim. And we've been told by the dean of a major Midwestern university that if the government came to him tomorrow and asked him to do precisely what we were suggesting, studying and researching and writing white papers on the alien situation, that he recognized it as a vital topic, and he would do it in a heartbeat, funding or no funding. But until that point, when the government says, okay, go, or would you please, he said, I wouldn't even be caught thinking about it because all my funding for everything else would be cut off immediately. So we can see why, you know, the cover-up of the disclosure and the alien situation is that's a pretty heavy game, as you're more than aware, I'm sure yourself, Carrie. And so that's that in a way is, you know, Scott and I are rather impatient for all these years. Both of us were contactees as small kids. And so, you know, we have no problem dealing with it, handling it, with it all our lives. But it's really frustrating that the cover-ups are still in place.
Well, I'm very excited to hear that you're working with C.B. Scott Jones. He was at this Pennsylvania event that I attended about a month or two ago. And we were supposed to do an interview, but it just never happened. So, please do, if you're in touch with him, tell him to get in touch with me if he'd like to come on my show, and do a sort of an interview via the radio show. We could certainly do that if he's interested.
Well, that's great. I certainly will pass that on to him.
Okay. And then as far as approaching universities and saying you're not having much luck, are you reaching, I mean, aside from the fact that they're waiting for the government to say yes, they should do something because their funding is coming from that direction, do they have any sort of thoughts of their own along those lines? In other words, are they open-minded in that regard?
I have to. It's difficult to say because everybody is so close-mouthed about it. But I do sense from talking to a number of them personally myself that there is a good deal of interest. They see it as a real phenomenon, many of them. Some of them are, of course, in the same position that a lot of people in the general public are. You know, the government doesn't want to admit it, so they think, well, you know, it's all nonsense. And some of them are, as you said in your introductory talk there, in denial. I would say, to answer your question as directly as possible, I think there is a great deal of interest generally in the academic community, and a great deal of frustration, that they're being suppressed.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's a very interesting effort that you guys are embarking on. Your idea of writing white papers is because you feel that if it enters academia and starts to be viewed as sort of from the point of view of science or sociology or whatever they would classify it as, that it will have more traction. Is that your idea?
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's one more major point of pressure on the powers that be, you know, to get off the dime, to inform the people. Because as we have been saying in our briefings to those who will listen, not necessarily in the academic community, but in conferences and so on, and we've even sent these briefings to academics and to the UN and to the president and Michelle also. I think she has a great deal of influence and has a great head on her shoulders. One of the things that I would like to point out is that we are not just pushing for an interest or participation in the discussion with regard to the general alien situation. We are pushing for what we are calling full disclosure. And full disclosure is about three major cover-ups that are separate but inextricably interwoven. The first one is the general alien situation. Our premise is that, you know, we're being offered in the biggest picture, biggest planetary picture, if you will, where we're being offered stellar society as a species, and we've been given the rules very clearly. They don't interfere if they, you know, that's sort of a principle, but they will interfere if we do stuff like shoot off nuclear weapons at each other or something like that. Because I think you were at the same conference I was at.
Okay, Neil, sorry to interrupt you. We've got a commercial coming. We'll be right back with Neil Freer and continue this discussion. Thank you.
Sure.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, the way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers manufacturers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Neil Freer. Neil, you were just starting into a sentence right before we broke for the break. Do you want to continue?
I don't think I can finish the sentence because I forgot what I was saying in that particular breath. But my general...
Okay, well, you were starting to talk about... my audio engineers are saying that your speakers are on too high, so you should turn your speakers down because that we're getting a feedback loop coming from your end there. So if you could help in that way, I think. Mm-hmm. But basically, you were talking about Michelle Obama, and I guess that there may be some movement within the government. I'm not sure what you were saying. What about, you know,
Carrie, what I was beginning to say is that we define disclosure as necessitating three major points. The first one is the general alien situation. I think the evidence and as contactees, both Scott and myself, find it easy to understand that generally, you know, that the evidence is overwhelming for the presence of a number of alien civilizations, either coming through here as treating us like a tourist trap, or some of them are more interested in helping us out. Some of them may have some designs, as you mentioned, on us for things that are would make us more uncomfortable. But generally, I think we're being offered the possibility of cosmic citizenship, and we've been given the rules. Basically, we've been made to see that they don't. Most of the civilizations do not interfere, and don't want other ones to interfere. They respect that in us, but they will interfere if we do things like, use nuclear weapons and so on. And I think where that sentence that I left off on was, I think you and I were at the Kona conference. Exopolitics conference, where it wasn't, it was one of them anyway. I'm pretty sure that you and I were both at, where, what's his name, Salas.
Michael Salas?
No, not Michael Salas.
Oh, Robert Salas.
Robert Salas, yes, who is now a math professor in college. But he was trained to run the console of the launch pad. Launch console at the 15 nuclear tipped warhead silo site in the Dakotas, I believe. And UFOs came over and turned things off on him. And I remember saying to him at breakfast at that conference, Bob, did they turn it back on? And he said, no, they didn't. They just turned them off and didn't really do any damage, apparently. We had to turn them back on. But the message was clear. You kids better stop playing with those damn things before you, you know, destroy your whole species. So anyway, that's the first part of disclosure, the general alien presence, which probably has been going on over time, maybe millions of years here. The second part is the acknowledgement and revelation of basically Zechariah Sitchin's thesis, which a lot of people are now becoming aware of, you know, that we are, in a sense, or we already have disclosed because we are part alien. The Anunnaki, those who came down in English from the 10th planet, their home planet in our solar system, that was rediscovered in 1683 by the IRIS Dutch combination telescope search in the infrared. Six announcements made in the media, the last one being January the 11th, 1983, in the New York Times interview of one of the scientists who was part of the team, one of the astronomers.
Are you talking about Robert Harrington?
No. His name is slipping me. It will come to me, and I hope for me in a minute.
Okay.
Anyway, he said astronomers are so sure of it that all that is left to do is name it. And then the shades came down because the general alien topic and our alien, genetically engineered, part alien nature, let me recapitulate Sitchin's thesis just for a minute because I'm sure there are some people who haven't heard it. And I highly recommend it. I think Zechariah should have received a Nobel Prize. He died about 2 years ago at the age of 90. And wrote the introduction for my first two books for me. He was a good friend and a meticulous scholar. Also, he was a Semitic scholar and could read, pick up and read a Sumerian clay tablet in hieroglyphics, like you and I could read the newspaper. One of the maybe 200 people on the planet at any given time who can actually do that kind of thing. And so he was able to read the early Sumerian, and He said the first thing that is clear from those is that the so-called transcultural gods known to all the ancient civilizations were not mythological, as most scholars and maybe the Vatican and a lot of the elite, so to speak, would like us to believe, but they were humanoid, and they were also alien, and their home planet was the 10th planet in our solar system. They taught us, eventually, that 450,000 years ago, they colonized the planet. 200,000 years ago, they were here for huge amounts of gold. It turns out that Earth, of all the planets in this solar system, has the most gold. And they were mining gold. We've rediscovered their gold mines in Southeast Africa, 100,000 years old, with traces of work in them. And so they colonized the planet. And then 200,000 years ago, they have recorded and taught us that they had a rebellion in their gold mines among their workers. We don't want to eat the dirt down here anymore, they said. Do something. So they, to make a very long story short, and a very scientific one, they resorted to genetic engineering, which they were capable of at that particular point, and took Homo erectus, the end product of the indigenous evolutionary process on this planet, and impinged their genes on Homo erectus, and basically here we are, a part alien species, and once we have understood that, and that we were created as a slave species to work their gold mines, and then gradually became more precocious than maybe they could anticipate, and became partners with them, sexual partners with them, and when it came time for them to phase back, first, they created the Sumerian civilization, which was like a crash course in civilization, if you will, with trilingual dictionaries and advanced math and science and astronomy and so on. And they taught us the entire formation of our solar system. They taught us about their home planet and so on. That's something that will, when accepted, acknowledged, and accepted, will change the face of the planet, change our psychology as a species, because one of the rules is, if you want to be accepted into stellar society, you will be allowed in as a species, as a peaceful, unified species. Not a tribe, not a nation, not a civilization even, but as a species. And one of the biggest obstacles to that at this particular point is our tremendous conflicts and our guarding, so to speak, religions. Because we suffer from that nasty syndrome, which can be stated like, our God is better than your God, and we might have to kill you if you don't accept that. And so we're in constant conflict and wars and divided. And
Neil, just let me sort of slow you down a little bit here, and let's kind of back up and look at some of the stuff you've been talking about. First of all, you know, for the listener, because they don't realize that, you know, you have such a great background in Sitchin's work. And I'm curious if you're familiar with a lot of the criticisms that have been sort of leveled at Sitchin and how you approach that. Like what was Sitchin's approach to that, if you know it, and also what would be your thoughts?
Well, I think probably one of the most extreme criticisms of Sitchin's work is on a website that is the name of the website incredibly, is Sitchin is wrong. So, and it's run by a gentleman, I assume he's a gentleman, who was, the last I knew from reading his own stuff, a Jewish seminarian, so to speak, studying to be a rabbi, and perhaps he is a rabbi by now. And my evaluation of his criticism, where he says that Sitchin doesn't understand this and he doesn't understand that about the Sumerian and stuff, but he does, I believe that we are looking at an apologist for the Hebrew religion, because one of the major facts that has been brought out subsequent to Sitchin's leaving off, so to speak, where he did, by Sir Lawrence Gardner, who wrote Bloodline of the Holy Grail and Genesis of the Grail Kings and so on. One of the conclusions of his was, due to his meticulous research and apparent linguistics and so on, is that two of the Anunnaki who were in charge of the colony planet here, one was Enki and the other one was Enlil, two brothers who were usually fairly at odds with each other, but ran the planet. Sir Lawrence Gardner has pointed out, it's a tough thing to say straight out because it steps on so many people's toes religiously, but he's shown that Enki, one thing I say previous to that, to preface it, is that it is clear to the majority of scholars at this particular point in time who want to face up to it, that the Old Testament is a rewrite of the Sumerian histories that are 3,000 years older and were done in a theopolitically skewed fashion to honor Enlil, because he was the nastier of the two and in charge of humans, as Enki was. Enki was the scientist that did part of the genetic invention of us, and therefore more empathic as far as humans were concerned. And so the bottom line is that if Sir Lawrence Gardner is correct, and I believe he is from all of my studies, that Enki in the Old Testament was Adonai the Lord, and Enlil was Jehovah Yahweh. And people say, well, they were called Elohim. Well, Elohim is a plural. El is singular, and so it is obvious that the Hebrew scribes and theologians, if you will, amalgamated, blended, melded these two separate, individual, imperfect, humanoid aliens who genetically engineered us. Melded them into a single word, Elohim, knowing very well that they were using Elohim, which is a plural, as a singular. And I hear the music starting.
Okay. Yes, and thank you for explaining all of that. I think that will be helpful to people out there. We'll be right back with Neil Freer.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning.
American.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
Use the truth carefully.
Come listen to our new show, The Region 10 Report, airing Friday nights at 11 p.m. Central, brought to you by Suzanne Posel of OccupyCorporatism.com.
This is Cherry Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Neil Freer. He was just talking about Sitchin, Enki, and Enlil, and how they were depicted in the Bible as Elohim in plural and also singular, meaning gods or God, and that I think that, you know, Michael Tellinger is also, having written the book Slave Species of God, also points this out and very clearly. And my audience, this particular audience, Neil, just so you know, will not be shocked by that information whatsoever. They're quite familiar with that. It is interesting that if someone takes a look at the Bible as a political document, as a compilation, actually, that had political overtones and in which they were striving to coerce people to think and behave a certain way. Now, just to go back in terms of Enki and Enlil and on what all is going on, I mean, I understand where Sitchin brought things to at a certain point, but I have to say that there has been new evidence, it seems to me, that what the Anunnaki did was not so much genetically engineer us as re-engineer us. And in fact, it is said that they put in what is called by some a frequency fence in which we were limited. And I know that according to Sitchin, there was more than one genetic working of humanity, and that in particular there were two groups that ended up being created, and one in particular followed Enlil and were very obedient. And in some ways, I say that they didn't have what I call the rebel gene. And the other group were more rebellious, and they were the ones that were also more sort of curious and willing to innovate and change their reality and also rebel. So both strains of humanity have survived, it seems to me, and it's very clear that there's a bloodline connection to this ability to rebel and question, as opposed to being a bit more sort of a pacifistic nature.
Okay.
It's just an interesting way of looking at it. Anyway, at this point, you have gone in the direction of kind of working from there and then expanding on some of Sitchin's work as well as Garner. And I think you do Garner as well, didn't you?
Well, yes, Garner. Sir Lawrence Gardner, writing fairly recently, I think it's a good way of looking at his writing is to see that he, in a sense, has taken off from where Sitchin left off.
But he also passed on just recently.
He died recently, yes. Is that what you said?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I hesitate to say it publicly, but I have doubts about his death. And that's about all I can
say. Well, I'll say it for you, actually. I believe that he was targeted. I'm an intuitive, and I did sort of view that situation. I actually have a friend who knows him and was an old friend of his. And from what I could see, he was actually targeted by some very black magicians, and that seems to be what happened. But you know, be that as it may, he didn't pass on.
Well, I think that some of the information that he produced in his researches were quite novel and quite impressive. He was, as you probably know if you're in touch with a friend of his, he was enlisted, hired probably, by 30 royal families in Europe because of his expertise in genealogy and the history. He was hired by 30 royal families in Europe to do genealogical work for them. And in the process of doing that, he kept coming across references in their private archives, which he had almost unique access to, He became aware of a bloodline of kings in their genealogical trees, and that stretched way, way back. And he would ask them, what is this line of special kings? And they would say, well, did you find my great-great-great-great-grandfather or something? And he said, no, come on, you know, level with me. And finally they said to him, look, what you're looking at in that line of royal, of special kings, is the Holy Grail. And he was sort of blown away by that at first, but then he realized when he continued his researches that that line of kings stretched all the way back at least as far as Sumeria, and he was able to trace it to Enki. Enki, if Sir Lawrence Gardner is saying true, and I've tried to vet him six ways to Sunday, and I think he is saying in a very straight, that when the Anunnaki realized that they were going to have to phase off the planet, we were becoming very independent, and I think they had enough gold for quite a spell. They were using that gold, by the way, for some kind of molecular seeding of their atmosphere, because their planet, the 10th planet, is Uranus-sized, but it also has a very peculiar orbit in our solar system. It is a member of our solar system. It is a planet. And I've discussed it once or twice with Bill, who says that he believes that it is a dwarf star, a failed star, a red dwarf or whatever. And but on the other hand, the science says that John Anderson, for instance, who was the director of the Pioneer spacecraft explorations, two Pioneer spacecraft were sent out in opposite directions from the Earth to report back on all of their findings. And he said that it was, as far as he was concerned, it was definitive. There was no twin star or brown dwarf as part of our solar system or as a twin to our sun. And that there was, on the other hand, strong evidence for a very large body out there in one direction. And obviously he was referring to what subsequently became identified as our 10th planet, called Nibiru, Planet of the Crossing. And the reason why it's called Planet of the Crossing is because it has a huge, very narrow elliptical orbit around our sun. And it takes 3,600 years to make that orbit. And when it comes into the inner solar system, if it slingshots through the asteroid belt area in between Mars and Jupiter. And because of the nature of its orbit and its size and its gravitational and geomagnetic influences, it can cause all kinds of devastation here on Earth, depending on the position of all the planets and the Earth, whether the Earth is on the same side of the sun as it is or not. And the flood story in the Bible is a recapitulation of the more precise story in the ancient Sumerian documents. Again, when their planet came in at one time, they knew it was, things are going to get really bad because of the positions of the planets and so on. And it did. And even though in the Old Testament, the flood story is so almost like a children's story, you know, with two giraffes and two hippopotami and stuff going up the ramp into the ark and so on. It really was that one of the humans, we call him Noah from the Old Testament, he took on board by direction of Enki genetic materials so that he would be able to start the planet up again if it would got that bad. There is a book, a fascinating and very informative book called Cataclysm by Alan A-L-L-A-N, and Delair, D-E-L-A-I-R, English scientist, that gives the report that they made after going around the world and investigating the signs and results and damage of the flood, as it's called in the Old Testament. And they say that what we're really looking at is a total devastation.
Okay, I'm very sorry. We have another commercial right here. We'll be right back with Neil Freer. I'm sick to death of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth now. Just give me some truth now. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth now. Just give me some truth now.
Are you or someone that you love struggling to reclaim your health? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, CEO of RNADrops.com. In 2008, I struggled with chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD, and Lyme's. I thought that all hope was gone as I lost everything in the process. In 2009, a miracle happened. I discovered Ion and RNA Drops. 2 months after taking RNA drops, the chronic fatigue and the PTSD had vanished into thin air. I'd like to invite you to discover RNA drops by visiting www.rnafreemini.com today. That's rnafreemini.com today. Listen to hours of testimonials and get a free trial bottle. Pay only shipping and handling by visiting www.rnafreemini.com
or give us a call at 1-888-550-8231. That's 888-550-8231. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Neil Freer. Neil, right before the break, you were talking about Planet X, and I wanted you to back up for a minute and just say, who was the scientist you said who had studied the situation and went out, investigated into our solar system and saw that the planet... There was no evidence for a brown dwarf, but there was evidence for a 10th planet. Which scientist was that?
His name was John Anderson of JPL and NASA.
Okay. And then right before the break, you were talking about, the 10th planet. And it is an interesting premise. At this time, I remember that, Sitchin, when he was asked about this, basically was saying this is something that was possibly coming in the future. Actually, he was looking even as far as, I think, 2050, if I recall.
2058, I believe, yeah.
And, yeah, and Bob Dean had suggested it was more like 2017. Do you have a position on that?
Yes, my position on that is that it is almost impossible. It is impossible for me to accept any of those dates at this particular point, because Sitchin said 2058, and he was doing it by the mathematics of the history, because it on the basis of 3,600 year orbit. Then, on the other hand, you can listen to somebody like John Moore, who runs a site called the Liberty Man, .com, and he was military intelligence and still maintains military intelligence contacts on the inside, even though he's retired from the military. And he says that he knows from his inside contacts. And you can, if you Google him on the web, you may be able to find a YouTube presentation where he's saying substantially this, that he's being told that the Navy is telling their retirees now, do not go pick yourself a place to live anywhere near the coast. Get at least 800 feet up in altitude and preferably in the middle of the United States in the Ozarks or something. Because it's coming, they know it's coming, the people are not being told. And
yes, and I'm familiar with John Moore. I've actually spoken with him, and I know about his sort of predictions and or whatever, his intel that he gets. There have been some very strange announcements by JPL and NASA to their employees as well. In the recent past. And it's quite vague. There are so many different conflicting opinions and information that it actually boggles the mind. So we don't need to go too far down that road. I was just curious where you stood in that argument.
The one positive thing that I can say is that Scott and I are both 99.9% sure that the whole argument between global warming, global cooling, and climate change being caused by our breathing out CO2 and industry pushing out CO2 is misdirection. They're just letting us, kick that around, and the scientists kick it around, that the actual cause of climate change and Earth changes currently are early effects of the incoming 10th planet. When it will get here at perigee in between Mars and Jupiter, perigee being the closest place in where it starts to go back out again, is uncertain in my mind. On the other hand, we know from a YouTube video that you can still see on the web, xfacts.com still carries it, for instance. Sitchin sent a copy of The 12th Planet, his first book, to Harrington of the Naval Observatory. And when Harrington read the book, he called Sitchin in for an interview. And that interview is available, and you can watch it. And they agreed on just about everything about the ancient records, what the ancient records were saying about the 10th planet, that it was not an indigenous planet, that it was captured into our solar system gravitationally probably billions of years ago. It collided with a planet that was in place where the asteroid belt is now, called Tiamat. And, trying to imagine the catastrophic size of a collision between a Uranus-sized planet and one other one that was almost that size is pretty mind-boggling. And that particular planet that was in place in the asteroid belt orbiting there got shoved into Earth orbit and became recongealed, so to speak, into the Earth. And we can still see a big chunk out of the side of it called the Pacific Basin. They gave us all this information. When Sitchin and Harrington met in Harrington's office, Harrington had, by that time, in the early 90s, all the information from the Pioneer spacecraft, John Anderson's project, which was quite definitive. And he also had the results of two separate and different computerization simulations that he and Tom Van Flanderen, who is also dead, unfortunately, did back a ways on the 10th planet. And he had all the information from what is called the residuals, the visual recordings, the visual sightings, and measurements of wobbles in a couple of our big planets that would indicate the presence of another a large planet like Nibiru. And so he said in that interview, and he totally blew me away, he says in that interview to Zechariah, I know enough about that planet now. And he called it a planet, not a brown dwarf or anything of the sort. I know enough about that planet now to be quite confident to say that it even has an atmosphere that we could be comfortable in. And I thought to myself when I heard that the first time, how the bloody hell would he know that? unless there was stuff that they knew that was not being released to the public. And so after that, not too long after that, knowing the conditions and the orbit of that planet well enough from the astronomy that had been done so far, and all the information that he had gotten from other sources, that he sent a team down to Black Birch, New Zealand, with a special scope, and obviously to get a visual on it. And the reason why he sent it to Black Birch, New Zealand, in the southern hemisphere, is because he knew by that time that its orbit was not only 3,600 years or a huge elliptical, but it was tipped to the plane of the ecliptic, the plane of all the other planets, that sort of dish-shaped plane, by about 40 degrees. So until it came up and crossed the equator, the equatorial plane of the ecliptic, we wouldn't be able to see it from the northern hemisphere where he was. So anyway.
Let me ask you, are we talking about John B. Anderson, and is he still alive?
I don't know middle initial, and I don't know whether John Anderson is alive yet or not.
Okay, was he, do you remember how old he was when he met with Sitchin, when he met with Harrington? I know Harrington was killed. It is said to be, you know, he was taken out, although I'm not sure what they say the cause of death was.
Approximate
age at that time?
We're talking about two different people here. One is Harrington, the one that Sitchin met with in the Naval Observatory office of Harrington. And the other one was, previous to that, the head of the Pioneer Spacecraft Exploration Project was John Harrington.
John B. Anderson, right?
Anderson.
And the other one. So what I'm trying to, I guess, ascertain, if at all possible, just based on a brief search here of the web, is how old he was at that point, whether he was, so people can investigate this further, it would be helpful. Because you're saying that you're saying that this individual had a lot of information about Planet X, and I'm just wondering if he's still alive.
Well, let's see. I sensed that I was not making myself clear about who had what information. I think it was already in 1976, and this is, if you consult Zechariah's book called Genesis Revisited, he mentioned specifically, from a scientific point of view, John Anderson, I think in 76, when they ran the Pioneer Spacecraft Exploration Projects, sent two spacecraft out to report back in opposite directions from planet Earth. And that was John Anderson. Okay. How old he was at that particular point, I don't know. Still active and not retired, so probably can be easily researched by using the pioneer word, exploration word with him. Now, the other person, Harrington, was Naval Observatory, always there, ran his office there, and he had gathered the information in the early 90s when he did the interview, when he called Sitchin in to visit with him. He was, he looked like he probably was in his late 50s or 60s at that point in the YouTube video.
Well, Harrington was killed, so we know that he's not alive.
We know he's not alive. And Mrs. Sitchin said publicly before she died that she thought that he was murdered. And people say, well, why would they take him out? Because he was about to write articles, because he had taken his own pocket 8-inch telescope down to visit with his team in the southern hemisphere so he could get a visual for himself on the incoming 10th planet. And by the time he got back and before he could write any articles, he got dead. Now, I have no other information than what Mrs. Sitchin said and other people have mentioned as to why or how. Once I thought I heard that it was supposed to be a heart attack, and the other time it was supposed to be some sudden cancer. But I can't take it any farther than that because I just don't have any other information. So now that was actually, I realized that in order to fill people in on Sitchin's thesis and important information, that I had gotten off into the 10th planet. And that was going to be my third point of disclosure. And I think I should go back and close up the second point, which of disclosure, which is absolutely necessary for it to be made, for us to reach any kind of peace on Earth and unity of the species. And that is that we need to acknowledge academically, scientifically, politically, generally, that as I put out in my thesis in 1986 in Breaking the God Spell, which worked out the ramifications of the information that Sitchin had put out, that the plain and simple fact is that from what we know now about Enlil, Enki, and the general situation of our genetic engineering as a slave species, that religions as we know it, the God-fearing religions, and I say God-fearing religions because I want to differentiate them between those which would be the Hebrew religion, the Christian religion, Catholic religion, and Muslim, all centered around the God of Abraham, so to speak, who turns out at this particular point to be, if Sitchin and Gardner and the rest of the serious scholars are correct in dealing with it, who is Enlil and Enki melded together in the word Elohim. So anyway, so religion then becomes, I wanted to differentiate that, I'm sorry, between those God-fearing religions and, say, Taoism and Buddhism and so on, which are not so much God-fearing religions. They are more lifestyles aimed at spirituality in the sense that we can redefine spirituality as dimensional expansion of perception. Just as now we are beginning to assimilate four-dimensional consciousness as a simple matter of fact and a habitual perception. And they are lifestyles that lead to that and so on. But the God-fearing religions, those that say to each other, our God is better than your God and we know better and we might have to kill you if you don't subscribe, the cause of wars and inquisitions and everything else, they're simply extensions and sublimations of the old master-slave relationship.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Neil Freer. Thank you, Neil.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Neil Freer. Neil, we were just talking about John Anderson and also basically going over some of these premises that you guys have been submitting as part of your kind of proposal to the president and to others in terms of disclosure and what needs to happen. I just looked up John D. Anderson. His name is John D. Anderson. According to JPL, he is the person who was involved with Pioneer 10 and 11. So if that's the individual that you're referring to, from the look of things, he might still be there.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it is good to know. It would be interesting to talk to him if indeed he was so instrumental in kind of giving that information to Sitchin. Somehow they had a relationship, it seems.
No, I don't think there was any relation, any personal relationship between John Anderson of the Pioneer.
Okay, so you're saying that Sitchin simply cited him as being the scientist who...
Yes, I think the best place to check it out is in Genesis Revisited. Sitchin, in going over all the science about the planet and its discovery and so on, besides the IRS, the infrared imaging satellite discovery of it and so on, he mentions John Anderson and quotes him as saying, you know, that there was no twin star or brown dwarf involved in our solar system, but there was evidence, gravitationally or electromagnetic or whatever, the Pioneer was sensing of a large additional body out there. So, okay. But Harrington was the one that Sitchin was called into an interview with, and they had, and I know that Sitchin maintained a correspondence with Harrington of the Naval Observatory, and they were, exchanging notes and information and so on after that particular interview. And as I said, you can see the interview if you go to xfax.com.
Okay, well, if you can, if you get a chance and you can send me the link, I'll post it for people because I think they would be very interested in watching that interview. Sure. We investigated Planet X when we went to Italy and talked to Lucas Scantamburlo, and I guess you might be familiar with Cristoforo Babato and the Jesuit priests who supposedly had information about that as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But that was several years ago. At this time, what you guys are proposing
is... I'm sorry, Carrie, you were talking about... Malachi Martin, the priest from the Vatican, right?
No, I wasn't. The particular person was from Steve, the secret Vatican. His name was never disclosed.
Oh, well, there was a priest that was a Vatican, apparently in Vatican intelligence, who worked in the Vatican. His name was Malachi Martin.
Well, there are many such.
He discovered that in the basement of the Vatican, there was a large computer system that had a direct link to the Hubble telescope, and it turned out that somebody found out that he knew about this thing. It was running a program called Wormwood? Wormwood, of course, is the name of given in the Book of Revelations in the New Testament to the 10th planet, Nibiru. And so when the Vatican found out that he was curious about that and discovered it with a direct link to the Hubble telescope, two of the Vatican goon squad, and I guess they have, approached him and said, well, we'd like to talk to you. And he knew immediately what was up. And he said, well, he made some quick excuse, and we'd talk in 15 minutes, I've got to catch a shower or something. And he took off and never went back into the Vatican because he knew that they were probably going to take him out. So he was on George Nuri and kind of spilled the beans on George Nuri, but he's dead under, again, questionable circumstances. And you said that you were in Italy talking to...
My understanding is the Jesuit priest who actually had film of this particular planetoid. So it may be that Malachi Martin also, you know, as you said, got into a certain part of the Vatican and found out some information. Okay. It's not, to my knowledge, the same story as the one that Barbato made public.
I see. I'll have to talk to Barbato and find out the details about that one.
Okay, well, yeah, good luck with that. he was right around the time after he disclosed this information that was he was given, apparently, from what I understand, a tape of the planet that was filmed, and that the Jesuit priest then disappeared, but Barbato had the evidence, and he released that publicly. After that, he became virtually, at the time at least, he was unable to get a job, and he was becoming, he was banned by most media outlets, et cetera, et cetera. So the Vatican was working very hard to discredit Barbato. At that time, Barbato was, that we were in Italy, he was in such a state that he would not even talk to us. And we had to talk to this other person whose name is Lucas Gantamberlo, who was a researcher with a passion for the subject and knew all about the disclosures from Barbato, had I believe had met with him, etc. And he spoke to us kind of on Barbato's behalf because Barbato wouldn't talk to us.
Sure.
Our car was then broken into at the Milan airport. They were obviously looking for some so-called evidence they thought that Luca might have given us, presuming that Luke had gotten something from Barbato. So it's a huge kind of can of worms. And obviously, the Vatican was working very hard to keep that information silent. At this time, there is still so much conjecture about this other planet that it is absolutely unclear as to what's going on with all of that.
I appreciate that
you feel that, you know, Sitchin, I don't know, you know, at this time, Sitchin was also talking about it as being something, again, that was going to come in the very far future. It seems somewhat inconsistent. You're talking about 36, I think, 36,000 years?
No. I said that it has an orbit of 3,600 years once around the sun from way out and then in and then out again.
Right. My understanding is it was 2600.
When it's supposed to come in again will be is very hard to determine. And I think one of the reasons why some people are saying, as Bob Dean said, he knew from the inside information that it was supposed to be 2013 or 17. John Moore was talking more in terms of 2013, this year, whereas Sitchin was saying 2058. So that's, you know, that's quite a ways off. But one of the reasons why it is very difficult to determine by anybody, except perhaps maybe the Astronomical Observatory, the brand new one, that was built right down at the South Pole to observe it, I'm sure. They may be able to tell. But the thing is that there is this thing called, in physics, before they had huge supercomputers, the three-body problem. If you had three bodies moving around in relationship to each other in space, it was very difficult to determine where any one would be at any given moment, until they got supercomputers who could do the number crunching and stuff and kind of work it out. Now, you take a three-body problem that requires supercomputers and apply it to this Uranus-sized planet coming up from below the plane of the ecliptic on a 40-degree pitch and interacting in one degree or another, because of the distance is different, with 12 bodies, with nine other planets and the sun and some large moons and so on, it becomes such a complex problem to figure out that it is difficult to say when it would be at any given point. And so that's part of the problem. I hope some of the audience would take that as a challenge and apply maybe some specialization in mathematics or physics that they know to try to help solve that problem.
I have to say that if John D. Anderson really did way back in, I forget what year you were saying that was.
76, I think.
76. If he was aware of this body back then and he was, making that public, either he shut up since then and if you go to him at this time, if it really is the same man, then it would be fascinating to see what his response would be, because I imagine he would have to deny everything.
Yes. And there was a fellow whose name slips me, probably almost 4 or 5 years ago, who decided that he would call around to every one of the major observatories in the United States, astronomical observatories, and say that he was interested in any information they could give him about the 10th planet. This was after the discovery by the IRIS in 83. He called every major astronomical observatory in the United States, and they all said, we don't know anything about it. We hung up on him. He said he was writing an article and wanted to know what they knew. He got lucky in the sense that then he started in Canada, and he started to call major observatories in Canada. And for one of them, in the eastern part of Canada, I'm not sure whether it was Montreal or wherever, he got a young woman intern on the phone, and he asked her about the 10th planet, and she said, we know about that, but we're not supposed to talk about it. And somebody snatched the phone out of her hand and probably made one of the biggest inadvertent puns of their lives when they said, it's not our focus. So anyway.
Yes.
When you mentioned Italy, I don't think we should spend too much more time so we can cover some more good ground on this particular topic. But when you mentioned Italy and the 10th planet and so on, you may remember that some years back, Bob Dean was carrying a picture of the 10th planet in his pocket. He said it was, and it had been given to him by the people from an astronomical observatory on the border between France and Switzerland. And it was not long after that, 20 people, members of the team that ran that astronomical observatory on the border of France and Switzerland, died mysteriously in a cable car accident on their way up to work. They had gotten on the cable car and it was taking them up to the observatory, and suddenly there was an accident with that cable car that nobody could explain.
I actually think I remember that incident. What year was that? Do you know?
I can't remember the year, no.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. That would be worth investigating as well. Sorry for my dog in the background here.
Maybe he doesn't like my voice.
No, he's just barking at somebody outside.
I'd like to go back and clean up that second point about breaking the God spell, getting genetically and enlightened and recognizing that religions are the God spell religions that we and God-fearing religions we know now are simply extensions, continuations, and sublimations of the ancient master-slave relationship we were genetically engineered under by the Anunnaki. And one of the results of the recognition of that takes away the proprietariness of any of them and can lead to peace and...
Okay, we're going to be right back and talk more about this, Neil, for you.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're talking to Neil Freer. I know, Neil, that you've just got your point out finally about religion, and I think that's something that people understand. Have we covered all of your points? Because at this point, what I'd like to do is open the floor for questioning. There are people out there in the audience. We do have a chat room, and we also have a call-in line. And so we have very little time left in the show, unfortunately, but if at all possible, we could invite questions.
That sounds like great. I'm getting with your voice. Can you hear me on the audio?
Yeah, you're breaking up a bit.
Okay, I don't know how to deal with that because it wasn't...
Okay. All right, maybe it's just a bit of faintness at the moment. Let's continue and see how it goes. So you would like to take some questions? You're okay with that?
What I would like to do is just recapitulate the three points of disclosure that I believe we need to see for full disclosure to bring about the changes that we need on the planet, and that is the general alien situation, our own genetic background as part alien species, and the third thing is the existence and threat of the 10th planet when it comes in once every 3,600 years into the inner solar system, because that's what was caused the flood, which was not just a tsunami that came up through the Middle East and receded. It was an earth-shaking thing that pushed up mountains. Allen and Dallaire point out things like there are clamshells embedded in the highest mountain, Mount Everest, in the world, and they're embedded live because they're embedded closed. They were embedded live because they were embedded closed. And so just as a single example of catastrophic stuff that happened all over the world when that happened, when that planet came through, that particular time doesn't always happen. It depends on the position of the planets. But it is a threat. It is incoming. I believe it is the cause of climate change already starting and Earth changes. We're seeing all kinds of earthquakes and stuff of heavier magnitude and so on, so on, so on. But those are the three points. And so let's take questions because I would like to get into the more positive thing, and that is what is actually happening now.
Okay. The questions may not go in that particular direction. We'll have to see. One of the questions in the chat is, why hasn't an alien race revealed themselves to us? If they're in hiding, it says if they wanted to reveal themselves, governments couldn't stop it.
If I understood that statement correctly, I would disagree with the statement that governments could stop it. If they mean stopping the aliens from disclosing themselves.
They're saying governments couldn't stop the ETs from revealing themselves, could not stop them.
No, okay. No, I agree with that. I'm sure they couldn't. With the high technology and advanced technology, some of which would seem like magic to us, that they possess, we wouldn't stand a chance if we... So as far as the whole why they don't reveal themselves, I'm saying that they do. We've got contactees by the millions all over the planet. We have sightings, and we have 400 people in Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project, military people and civilians who are willing to testify under oath before Congress that they had direct contact with aliens, or they knew about the alien program, or whatever, when they were in some kind of position. So the aliens, I think, are waiting for us to become a unified, peaceful species before they're, you know, going to come down here and risk getting shot at or something.
Okay. Let me see. Someone wants to know what did they want the gold for. I have to say that there's monatomic gold that they also use for the purposes of longevity, and they ingest that, as do some humans. And Lawrence Gardner is a person who advocated that, I believe. I think you're aware of that.
I'm ingesting it.
Uh-huh. And do you feel that it's helping you live longer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So
I can't give you direct or scientific or medical proof of it, but I know what I think it's doing for me. And I get it from whitepowdergold.com. There are a few sources out there for it. I find that one I would recommend.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any other questions that are not sure. I can't really see any other. I ask people to put questions in all caps so they're easier for me to grab out of the dialoguing that goes on. We have a chat room that in which people talk sort of during the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's nothing right there offhand. Is there anything else while we have actually about 5 minutes left or so, a little over, that you would like to cover, Neil, while we're still here on the show and that you might not have gotten a chance to talk about?
Yes, and that is, let's talk about 2012 for a little bit. If those of the audience who have read thoroughly Sitchin's work, he identifies Ningishida, son of Enki, as also known as Thoth to the Egyptians, and much later on as Hermes in the Greek tradition. But he was Quetzalcoatl. He was given domain over the Mayan and Aztec and probably North American regions too, South American regions. And he was the one who taught the Mayans. They didn't even have a telescope. They're not responsible for any of the advanced astronomy that people have been attributing to them, or any of the prophecies or whatever. He taught them the calendar. He taught them the advanced architecture that is still extant. And so I think that he picked out 2012 as a significant date because he said he would return. I would like to see him return soon. We've got a lot of stuff to work out with him. It just brings up the whole topic of, well, what's really happening to us now? Well, I think, look at the kids, look at the children, look at the number of children that are being deliberately identified that are being born in China, who have paranormal abilities, who will grow up to be adults, who probably whose abilities we would consider to be paranormal for ourselves, but will be normal for them. And if we break the God spell and we become a unified species, we will qualify for at least consideration in stellar society. If we work out our relationship with the Anunnaki in this solar system, almost like the adult at 21 or 22 going back to talk to the parents about all the things that they did in high school, kind of leveling the playing field. I look forward to, I demand from the universe absolute knowledge, which means, as the Verdans taught Phil Kroff, the ultimate amount of knowledge that a biological species like us can attain. I want immortality. I think it's only a matter of simple human dignity. I'm signed up for the pronunciation is cryogenic suspension. It gives a whole new meaning to chilling out. If I die or get wasted on I-25 or something, I'm going to get stuffed into a liquid nitrogen tank and expect to come back when the technology is there to revive me. And because I've had it with reincarnating and the diaper trip and all that silly nonsense, and having to start over again. I think it's only a matter of simple human dignity that we attain that. And it seems as if most of the advanced species have come either very close to it or have attained that. Even the Anunnaki lived thousands and thousands of years, and they were not too much advanced past where we are now when they were here. So I recommend to you that
Thank you, Neil. The statement, I really appreciate that. Why don't you give your website real quick, and I'm going to have to say goodnight.
NeilFreer.com, NeilFreer.com. The latest book is Sapiens Rising.
Okay, and he has a new book out, and I encourage you to purchase it. Neil is a fascinating individual. I'd love to have you back in the future, Neil. Thank you.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Okay, good night, everyone. Thanks a lot.
Good night.
Are you or someone that you love struggling to reclaim your health? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, CEO of RNADrops.com. In 2008, I struggled with chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD, and Lyme's. I thought that all hope was gone as I lost everything in the process. In 2009, a miracle happened. I discovered Ion and RNA Drops. 2 months after taking RNA Drops, the chronic fatigue and the PTSD had vanished into thin air. I'd like to invite you to discover RNA Drops by visiting www.rnafreemini.com today. That's rnafreemini.com today. Listen to hours of testimonials and get a free trial bottle. Pay only shipping and handling by visiting www.rnafreemini.com
or give us a call at 1-888-550-8231. That's 888-550-8231. Hurry, supplies are limited.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.